Bible, please, and go with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The Bible says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Then Peter ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes lying by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. I want to draw a picture in your mind today of the events of Christ's resurrection. It always amazes me when I'm reading my Bible how it so plainly teaches in black and white the details. It teaches so plainly, so easy to understand and to grasp, yet few are willing to live by its standards of faith and practice. I wonder about that. When studying about the resurrection account, I am amazed how the disciples and his followers did not grasp his opening statement that he was going to his Father's house. You remember he said, the scriptures in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." It seems that they had no idea that Jesus Christ was going away. It seems, as you read the Bible, that they didn't even realize that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. He told them time and time again. But this is what I found, the Bible, the very explicit to say that they did not know the Scriptures. The question I pose you today, how many times did Jesus have to tell them? How many times did they hear but not really listen? I can almost guess for most of us boys growing up that you're here in this auditorium that your dad would say, "How many times did God tell you?" Anybody want to confess your sins today? Amen. "How many times I got to tell you?" I know my mama used to say that to me. I know my football coach used to say that to me. I know my boss used to say that to me. I know that officers in charge probably have said that to you. How many times they got to tell you? Jesus told them again and again that he was going to die. He told them again and again he was going to leave them. He told them again and again that he was going to be taken from them. He told them many times that he was going away. Listen to all the proofs. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, I'll read these. You don't have to turn them. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 16, verse 21, "For the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day." Matthew 17, 22, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day raise again. And they were exceeding sorry." They must have heard it. Matthew 20:18, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and to the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and third day he shall rise again." Matthew 27, verse 63, "Saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 3 days and I'll rise again." Here's even the opponent, the people that put him to death, said, "Hey, we remember him saying that." Mark chapter 8, verse 31, "And he began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things and reject by the elders and chief priests and the scribes to be killed and after 3 days rise again." Mark chapter 9:9, "And they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man these things, and they had seen till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And they kept these sayings with themselves, questioning one another what the raising of the dead should mean." What don't you understand? And I could go on and go on and go on. Christianity is, in the very essence, a resurrection religion. This is the religion, Christianity, that sets apart all of the religions of the world. The Hindus do not have a resurrected leader. Buddhism does not have a resurrected leader. The only religion that has a resurrected leader is the Lord Jesus Christ Christianity. Amen. The resurrection is what sets us apart from all other cults and isms. All religious leaders have graves, but not Christianity. Our symbol is not the grave, it's the open tomb. I know a lot of you ladies today probably have a cross on. That's not our symbol of Christianity. That's a symbol of suffering and heartache. Our symbol, I don't know how you can make it, have a stone around your neck, I guess, would be the resurrected Son of God. It's the open tomb. Come, see the place where He lay. They say, come on. One missionary asked a former Muslim man, why did you become a Christian? And he said, it's like this. I was journeying down the road of life and came to a fork. I didn't know which way to go, but there were two men there. One dead and stayed dead, and one dead and came back to life. Which one would you ask for directions? The concept of the resurrection lies at our heart. If you remove the resurrection, Christianity is destroyed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms to us indeed that He is the Son of God. It also proves that His sacrifice for sin has been accepted and that the work of salvation is completed. Those who trust in Him walk in newness of life because He is alive and He imparts power to them. Our Lord's resurrection declares to us that He is the judge. And He will come someday and judge this world. Yes, He will. He said, I'm coming again. It is no surprise then that Satan would attack the truths of the resurrection. The first lie he spawned was that the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Here was a bunch of fishermen. And here's the Roman garrison. Here's a bunch of guys that took care of business by catching fish. Here's a Roman government that were professional soldiers. It is difficult to imagine how could this be done. To begin with, the tomb was fully guarded. Matthew 27. And it would have been next to impossible for the, may I quote, the frightened disciples to overpower the soldiers, open the tomb, and secure the body. But the biggest obstacle fact, the disciples themselves, they didn't even believe in the resurrection. Why would they steal His body and try to perpetuate a hoax? Second lie that Jesus did not really die on a cross, and He swooned. And when they put Him in the cool tomb, He rose from His beating. But the Bible said that Pilate carefully checked with the centurion, may I say the coroners, to see whether Jesus were dead. I am sure that Pilate was done with all this craziness, and he wanted this stuff over. Roman soldiers came and broke the legs of the two thieves, one on one side and one on the other. But they knew that Jesus Christ was dead. Furthermore, how could a cold tomb transform Christ's body so that He could appear and disappear and walk through closed doors? When I was in college, I had to get a job to support my my habit of playing football in college. And so when I came home, my friend of mine, Larry Nielsen, suggested I got a job with him at Ware Smith Funeral Home. That was exciting. I'm kind of spooky. I mean, that kind of guy. And I started working at the Ware Smith Funeral Home, and not only what we really were doing, we're driving ambulance, but we'd help with them and embalming and things like that. That was a joyous occasion. And I have seen some things that are pretty messy. I want you to know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, his body was so emaciated, the Bible said that you couldn't even hardly recognize him. They wrapped him in fine linen and put 100 pounds of aloes with him. This aloes was like spikenard aloes was like an embalming, very sticky. And they wrapped his body in that, and they tightly wrapped the body. Here's one of the things that proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Peter and John ran to the tomb, Peter looked in, but John went in and he saw the grave clothes lying and the face napkin by itself. I will guarantee you, if you're in a hurry and you're doing it while, quote unquote, the soldiers slept, and that was the craziest thing, when you say the soldiers slept back in those days, if they caught you sleeping on duty, they would start a fire and burn you right there. That was what they got for desertion. Can you imagine trying to take, if this Christ had died and not arose, can you imagine the mess it would have been to take off those grave clothes? I mean, even when you have a little sore and you put a Band-Aid on it, sometimes you take it off and the skin comes with it. You know what I mean? Can you imagine the emaciating? And secondly, can you imagine the stench? If you've ever been around people that have passed away for a while, you'll never forget that smell. And I guarantee you don't want to touch it. Oh, they stole the body of Jesus. What a lie from the pit of hell. Why did they want to say that they stole him? So they say that Jesus Christ was not the God in flesh. His disciples were sent out as witness to the resurrection. And the emphasis of the book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This explains why Luke climaxed his book with a report of some that appeared to Jesus Christ and had raised from the dead. It appeared unto Mary Magdalene, appeared unto the other woman, appeared unto the two men at Emmaus, and sometime he appeared to Peter and to the half-brother James, and that evening he appeared all, that Sunday night, he appeared to all the disciples, except one, of course, Thomas. He didn't come to church Sunday night. Shame on him, amen. Shame on you. I just thought I'd put that in. It didn't cost a quarter. I just wanted to. It made me feel good. But Thomas was not with them. A week later, he appears to the disciples again, and thank God old Thomas is there. And he says to Thomas, you remember Thomas says, I ain't going to believe it unless I put my finger in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. How many remember that? Of course it's in the Bible. On the eighth day, the second Sunday night, Thomas finally came to church. And Jesus said, Thomas, here, put your fingers in my hand. And touch your hand in my side. And Thomas said the most beautiful testimony, my Lord and my God. He believed. He appeared several times to the disciples before his ascension and teaching and prepared them for the ministry. And of course, Paul the Apostle records over in 1 Corinthians that over 500 saw him at one time, and most of those people are still alive. So in other words, he said, you can go ask them. When Jesus' believers discovered that Jesus is alive, There's a tremendous difference in their life. Why? What did the people do when Jesus Christ died? They ran, they hid themselves. All of them, the Bible says, forsook Him. Now these people, here's the proof. Now these people, they're telling about Him. Now these people are after Him. Now these people are telling about Jesus Christ, and they said, we have seen Him. Yes, do that, will you, Corey? Yes, 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 we believe. We don't know the exact time Jesus rose from the dead, but we know it was very early. And we knew the earthquake had come. We know that opened the tomb. But He let the witnesses in. Why? Come and see. You know what was next? Go and tell. That was always been the Easter story. It's always been the mandate of the church. Come and see. Go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. It was Mary Magdalene. How she had been forgiven of her sins. She had been especially helped by Jesus Christ and had, from that time, devoted her life to Him. We see her lingering at the cross. We see her the first to the tomb. With her, with Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and other devoted women. They came early hoping to finish preparing the Lord's body for burial. They brought the spices so the stench of His rotten body would not be smelled. It was a sad labor of love. But my, were they transformed into gladness when they discovered that Jesus Christ was alive. Her question is to them, all the way, I think, to that tomb. Who will roll away that stone? That was her main concern. They knew the Roman soldiers would not break the Roman seal, especially for a group of mourning Jewish women. But God had solved the problem for them. The tomb was already open, and there was no body to prepare. At this time, the two angels appeared at the scene. One sitting at the head where Jesus' head laid, and one at the feet where Jesus' feet lay. There was a kind of rebuke by the angels as the message. He reminded them of their bad memory. Don't you remember? More than once, Jesus had told His Father, that the followers, that He would suffer, that He would die, that He would raise again. How sad it is. Even today, that God's people forget the Word and live defeated lives. Today, the Spirit of God assists us in remembering His Word. Look at the obedience of their commission. They said, go, and they ran to tell the disciples the good news, but the men did not believe. Jesus later rebuked them for that. Mary Magdalene asked Peter and John to come and examine the tomb. And they too saw the proof that Jesus Christ was not there. John went into the tomb. Peter stood out. John went in, and then Peter followed him. It's always good to know that there's always good encouragement by others. When they went in, they saw the grave clothes lying and then the face nap folded. In Jewish times, if you were sitting at a meal and eating, and you want to go talk to a friend or something, you take your napkin and you fold it up and you put it there. And that meant, servants, don't touch that. I'm coming back. And the Bible said when John saw that napkin, he believed. Started remembering. Oh, yeah. He's coming back. He's coming back. By the way, the napkin of Jesus Christ is folded today and He's coming back. The Bible said the trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ arise, and those that remain shall be caught up. And we'll ever be with the Lord. It's coming someday. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as you see the days approaching. I don't know about you. I'm an old guy. I'm 68. when I was growing up in the 40s and 50s. We didn't think about terrorism. I used to go up my dad's hayfield with my old 53 Chevy and tear up. He about killed me on doing that. Boy, you could really turn Louis out there, man. I was having a good time. I was tearing it up, but we never heard of terrorism. Nowadays, a moment doesn't go by in our life. Even our cell phones turn up and fire up, and these people killed, and that people killed, and this is done, and this is done. I don't know about you, but we're living in a terrible age. It's a scary age. You can't even let your kids go by themselves anymore because you're afraid that some idiot out there will take advantage of them or hurt them. You can't leave your doors. You can't leave your doors open. Yesterday I was pulling my motorcycle around, sitting in, and my two bicycles were gone. I have a couple of Trek bicycles, mountain Trek, and I paid more than I just don't use them like I should. I ride my Harley. But anyway, they were gone. My two bikes were gone out of my garage, and I try to keep my garage door closed all the time, and they were gone. I said, good night, someone came in my garage and stole my bikes. What in the world? Finally found out it was my son took them. Amen. Came that close from calling my buddies downtown. Amen. We live in a crazy age. It's wild. Jesus is going to come back. He said he is. Mary lingered at the tomb, then Jesus appeared to her. It's one thing to see an empty tomb and to see a tomb that has the grave clothes, but it's quite another to see the Christ. It's quite another to see the Christ. I prayed for you this morning. That he would not only see an empty tomb, but you'd meet the risen Savior. We today cannot see the evidence of the tomb, but we can read the testimonies, the witnesses found in the inspired Word of God. We can live out the faith in Jesus Christ and know Him personally by accepting Him as our personal Savior and trusting in the One that rose from the grave. Keep in mind, these men and women did not expect to see Jesus alive. They had forgotten the resurrection promise. They went to the tomb only to finish the anointing of His body. Some say that they had hallucinations, and others thought that they saw Jesus in their minds. Folks, that flies in the face of all the evidence. And would have this people have hallucinations, all hallucinate the same thing? Not likely. They became excited. They became excited witnesses of their leader, their living Jesus Christ. He's alive, He's alive, He's alive. We see a lot of people that are discouraged. They have no hope for tomorrow. You have no idea when your time is over. You have no idea when this is it. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Wouldn't it be great on the fifth day of April 2015 you met the risen Savior? Wouldn't it be a great idea to know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? You say, why in the world so crazy about this day of Easter? Because it's a proclamation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which sets apart all other religion to this. Christ liveth forever. And here is today to be your Savior. He died on a cross so you go to heaven. I hope today that you would. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, there's so much in the Bible that we could say today about your resurrection. There's so many proofs of the resurrection. Lord, yes, the grave is empty. And the grave clothes were there. But there's another thing, and that is to meet the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray today there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they would cling to the faith in Jesus Christ and say, today, I want this Savior to be my Savior. I want this God to be my God. I trust Him today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to make you feel like you're being picked on. But I'm here today to get you to realize that there is a God in heaven that loves us so much that He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He loves us. That's why He went through all this grueling terribleness of the cross, so that He could die for us and shed His blood. The Bible says all of us are sinners, and because we've sinned, we owe a terrible price. That's death and hell. But because of Jesus Christ died on the cross, all we have to do is call upon His name. He died so the men could live. Would you please invite Him to be your Savior? Would you please come to Him and say, dear God, I need a Savior today. If you were to die today, where would you go? What's your answer? Well, preacher, I've been a pretty good person. Well, the Bible said all have sinned. So have you ever sinned? Yes. And the Bible says because of our sins, we owe a terrible price. It's death and hell. What you need is a Savior to get you out of there and take you from your sins and set you free. I pray today that be the day that you'd accept Christ as Savior. Here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Right there where you're sitting. Why don't you invite the Savior to be yours? A simple prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. Hey, folks, there's got to be something about this. There's got to be something about this. Why do people for years preach and tell the Scriptures and the Bible stays around and they can't get rid of it? There must be something. I pray to God that You'd ask Him to be your Savior. Right here, right now, right today, say on Easter Sunday morning, I'm asking that resurrected Savior to come and be my Savior today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone's standing. I'm going to be up front. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you have a home in heaven, I would like to show you from this Bible, the Word of God, that you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen to your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come right now. Say, preacher, today, Easter Sunday morning, I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I never thought of it that way. I didn't understand it that way, but I didn't realize that He rose from the grave so that I could have life everlasting. Won't you pray to Jesus, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe You died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart, be my Savior. Let me show you from the Word of God what God will do in your heart, in your life. You're here today and say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm a follower of Lord and believer in baptism. I'd like to do that Easter morning. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. This is the place that we believe God has brought us to. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Lord, I pray You'd bless each one that is here today. Lord, help them to realize that there's a God in heaven that loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die a horrible death on the cross so that we could go free. We could have life everlasting. Heavenly Father, I pray for those today that have called upon Your name. Lord, please, God, show them Your power and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the service today. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we come back and enjoy the time together. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for your perfect Son who came to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your eggs out there for them. You would